Send a movie idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at The Dream Factory are ever so simple. We can discuss as many of your movie ideas as we like, but only one can progress to the next stage, where the money raised from its release will help me pay off this hefty £5 million tax bill I've been avoiding. I'm Joel, a man who puts the dim, the very fucking dim, in the dim, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has actually campaigned to have 80% of his own taxes be paid directly to research that's developing a new kind of courgette. As he claims, the ones available in all of his local supermarkets are either underwhelming or intimidatingly large. Hello, John.
At what point does it become a marrow? That's my question.
We've all been asking it, and that's why this research needs to take place.
Zucchini for the foreign listeners. Weird, right?
Yeah, zucchini.
I was a teacher in France for a while, and as an English teacher in France, and they were like, oh yeah, it must be weird, like with all the Americans, right? Because you guys speak different English. And I was like, not really. We just say a couple of vegetables differently and describe the back of a car different. It's not like African or like Canadian French, like so different. And I just can't get my head around it. Also, I had a colleague, I'm going straight into tangents within tangents. I had a colleague from Norway, and he started talking to another colleague from Sweden, and I said, oh, you can speak Swedish? And he went, no. And I went, oh, he can speak Norwegian? And he went, no. They just happened, they both happen to speak their own language and understand each other's language, but they are different languages. Apparently they're similar enough that you can just do that, but they're not the same.
That's crazy.
Exactly. Mad. When you did the intro, I thought my money was on Andrea Riseborough reference. Have you heard about her getting the nom for best actress in the Oscars, despite no one having ever seen this film?
No one's seen the film. The film doesn't really exist. It's one of the greatest pranks of our time.
And a bunch of celebrities just went, if you're an Oscar voter, tweeted, if you're an Oscar voter, pop this lady in, and they just did.
Do you think, are you going to watch it now?
I don't think so. I'm struggling to watch the ones that I want to watch. Well, exactly. Yeah. Behind the curtain, we are getting a lot of Tar references in the films that are being pitched to us. And I don't know when I'm going to see that.
I want to see Tar. Is Avatar one of them? Must be. Speaking of films that don't exist, John, have you got a film pitch for me from one of our listeners?
Yeah, why not? What about this one from Dan? The Snape of Water. Brackets, I have no idea what the plot would be for this, but the title won't leave me alone. Something about Hermione, Merman or something?
Hermione. Yeah?
Snape of Water is good.
Professor Snape, is he the water creature, or does he fall in love with the water creature?
I think he falls in love with a water creature, because I know that like throughout the books it was revealed that he's in love with Harry's mum, but like as an adult we don't really get any insight into sort of his love life or romance, and it's
okay.
He starts teaching
Defense Against the Shark Arts.
Hey!
And that involves going into the watery surrounds of Hogwarts looking for sharks. I assume they're in there. I don't know if that's canon. And they all eat the thing, gillyweed, that helps them breathe underwater. Snape goes down there, leads the first expedition of Defense Against the Shark Arts, and he bumps into a mermaid and he falls hopelessly in love with it.
Oh, lovely.
There you go. It's nice.
And then he sort of lays off Harry.
And of course he does. Just and then it all goes madly in love.
And that sort of is actually the downfall of the wizarding world, because I think him Voldemort giving Harry shit supreme. Is sort of part of the plot. Without that, you can't really do much.
Mm. Recently on my TikTok, my algorithm, it kind of waxes and wanes. It changes. It kind of undulates. Tries to read. It undulates. It ebbs and flows like the tide, which is ironic because at the moment, it's pretty convinced I want to see How to Survive a Shark Attack.
But that, to be fair, knowing you, Joel, that is the TikTok algorithm working
well, John,
perfectly.
Knowing me, I think everyone wants to know how to survive a shark attack. Thank you very much. Have you surveyed the population of planet Earth and said to them, would you like to know how to survive a shark attack? Who would say no? No, I wouldn't. Only people that already know.
Because when you said defense against the shark arts, I thought, here we go. This is Joel's speciality. He knows too much about sharks.
So a lot of the time I'm getting videos of people that are scuba divers and they're out there exploring and they're right by sharks. Quite often what they're doing, it really, I can't help but watch, even though it makes my skin crawl, is the camera will be above water.
Yeah.
And you can't see squat. And then the camera will dip a foot below water and there's just a fucking shark there. And it turns my stomach, but I can't look away.
And does he boop them on the nose? Is that the secret?
Well, there's a woman out there and she's teaching you how to boop a shark. And she's so confident with it. A shark will be swimming towards her, looking like the scariest thing you've ever seen in your life. And she'll just give it a little, she'll just push its nose. Just push its nose.
It's just little water dogs.
It's, oh my God, it's amazing. But I feel like I've consumed so much of this content that I know I'm well equipped with how to deal with a shark. But if you put me in the water with one, all of that goes out the window, right? I'm just going to poo myself and cry.
Exactly. I know they don't actually smell fear, but I feel like they do. They smell blood, which
I swim quite a lot. And swimming as an activity, it's just you and your... John, just give you an idea, listeners an idea of how this conversation is about to go. John has just sat back in his chair and crossed his arms.
Which basically I can hear a monologue coming.
This is a show about movie pictures. So I swim quite a lot. And one of the things about swimming that is both good and terrible is that I don't have any of the waterproof headphones or anything. So it's just me and my brain for the entire time. And I would say, and we've talked about this before, we're never alone with our brains. We're always listening to a podcast or something else. So it's just me and my brain. And occasionally, if I'm a little bit bored, my brain starts to say to me, Joel, what would you do if a shark appeared in the pool right now? And it's always different. Sometimes a shark is dropped from the ceiling. Sometimes it's hidden in like an underground tunnel. But there's always going to be a shark. And I have to constantly... Then it's quite embarrassing to admit. For about 10 minutes, I'll keep looking over my shoulder when I'm swimming. Because I can't convince myself there isn't a shark in the pool. So yeah, I'm basically constantly training to be in the presence of a shark.
Someone might be able to answer this question, but the idea of these waterproof Bluetooth headphones or whatever, where do you put your phone?
Good point.
You can't just have it on you as well, can you?
I think they have their own little internal storage, maybe.
Like old school, little memory.
Little MP3s for your ears.
Oh, that's so cute.
It is quite cute.
Would you like
you'd another one? You'd never hear a shark coming if you had them in though. Yes, please, yeah.
What about this one from Martin? AI Tonya, a figure skater, turns out, pun intended, to be an android.
That's pretty good. Is that the future? Android athletes?
Ooh.
What's interesting is you can imagine a dystopian future where we program android athletes, but they are achieving all world records and there's barely any competition left anymore.
Mm.
And so somebody starts programming them to cheat.
But how do you program to cheat?
Because that's what Tonya Harding does, right? Well, allegedly.
Destroy the opponents.
So that's what the AI athletes start doing, because they're all running 100 meters in like 2 seconds and they're all finishing at exactly the same time. The medals podium at the Olympics is a fucking joke. They're all just stood on first place. There's no room for them. All the national anthems are playing simultaneously. It's a mess. It's a complete mess. So they start programming androids to cheat, and there's like an android doping program, and they're going over and sabotaging each other's hardware in the Olympic Village. I like it.
I do too. I'm just trying to get my head around, like, because ultimately, we've already done this, right? Robot Wars is the first AI Olympics.
It is, yeah. I think it's recognised by the IOC.
Yeah, I think that could be interesting. I saw someone make an argument on the internet for there should be, like, two Olympics, and one is, like, clean, and the other is just doping, right?
Yeah.
But everyone's just going to watch the crazy steroid version, right? That's the problem.
I think so.
Just these
but you can't What does that apply to all sports? Like the equestrian sports? Are the horses like hopped up on? Are they like super muscly jacked horses? I don't know if it. I don't know if it works for all sports. Like, is doping good for archery?
They just got like enormous Arnie arms, but they can't aim for shit. But it looks great. They look incredible.
I don't know how far doping would get you in all sports, but happy for the listeners to. It'd be quite funny if people were just chucking shot puts out of the stadiums.
Yeah. Like your famous thing about the man doing the high jump against a grasshopper.
A
which is weird.
John, sit back in your chair.
Because I was going to mention when you said about sharks, I was going to mention the other thing that you're obsessed with about Michael Phelps versus the shark.
Yeah, well, I was actually trying to avoid all of my tropes. But in the first 10 minutes of this podcast, we've hit all of my key features. And that is sharks. And at the time that the BBC made a show where a flea did the high jump.
Oh, dear.
For more on that, subscribe to my podcast.
Getting into the groove.
No, something about fleas, release me, let me go. Something like that. It's like fleas.
Gotcha.
You know, it's fleas. Say fleas. Maybe that's what it is. And it's all about fleas.
Say fleas and die. The Goosebumps.
Nice. Book. That's good. It's because of a shark attack. If you were looking through the podcast app and you saw a podcast, it was my face and the title was Say Fleas and Die in brackets of a shark attack. Close bracket. Well, I'm going to click that. It seems to hit all of my interests. I want to hear what this guy's got to say about fleas. Not enough fleas coverage, actually. We've said that before, haven't we?
Yeah, every week.
Because there was a golden age with like the circus fleas, and like fleas were a pretty big deal. And I remember like my cat had fleas. People were just talking about fleas. No one
Red Hot
about
Chili
fleas
Peppers
anymore.
Bassist.
Exactly. I think fleas, since the 90s, they've been on a downward trend. Bring back fleas. Anyway, I don't think I've really said anything about films yet in this show. Here's one from Susie. Rouge One, a Star Wars makeup story.
So, obviously, there's makeup to make the Star Wars creatures, but I assume in this world, someone is selling makeup to those creatures. Mm. Like, if you're like the sort of Jabba's Palace sort of bikini clad aliens with the big tubes, are they putting makeup on or are they just waking up looking like that?
That's a good point. I don't know. I imagine there is alien makeup.
And like,
right?
And when, I can't think of his character name, Kylo Ren, when he's putting on his mask, is he putting a bit of, black mascara underneath it, so his
100%,
eyes...
100%.
He's a big emo, actually, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I think he's painting his nails black.
Did you ever wear makeup to look emo or...
I've done a fancy dress a bit. I've worn, like, big eyeshadow and stuff, but not too much, really. I've had a go. How about you?
I feel like I must have had a dalliance with some eyeshadow. Eyeshadow, is that the one? Around my eyes. In my time, but it wasn't really a big part of my life. I'm not a big fancy dresser. And especially now I've got shaved head, big beard, and I'm not willing to compromise on either of those things for the sake of a fancy dress. So it really limits what I can dress as.
Mm. So you don't like fancy dresses are no-go for you?
Pretty much, unless you want me to dress up as Kratos, but then I'd have to go topless and I don't want to do that.
Well, that'd be great.
Mm. I think I could pull off Kratos.
I think you could do a good Kratos.
You paint the head, right? He's got a big red sort of half of his face is sort of red.
Yeah, that'd look cool, man. You should do that.
Maybe for the next podcast I'll do it.
Cool. And I'll come as a big flea. I like it. There's makeup in Star Wars. I don't really know what the plot is. Maybe it's made using contraband goods that needs to be smuggled.
Yeah. And I just think, what's happening in, when you turn on your telly in the Star Wars universe, Galaxy Far, Far Away, what's happening on QVC? What are they selling to you? There must be makeup. Do they have Tupperware? Next question. It's another important question.
It is important. What do they do with their leftovers? Right, here's one from Simon. Soiling point.
So boiling point, one take boiling point, chef for movie.
Yeah, so this is a one take. A guy is trapped in a portaloo for 90 minutes. It's like a phone booth, but it's in a portaloo.
Okay. He's not allowed to poo or he has to poo?
He sits down to poo, and his trousers fall down the hole. And so he's got no trousers, no pants.
Oh, no.
And he has to figure out, and also this portaloo is like, I don't know, it's somewhere important. It's not just in a festival, it's like at the grounds of like Buckingham Palace.
Right? That's exactly where my brain was going. Isn't that odd?
Yeah. He gets invited to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. He's wearing a lovely suit. They don't want, look, they don't want common folk going in the palace to do their poos.
But it's one of those. Nice ones, right? Where it's like sort of like a back of a van. You get stairs up and there's hand washing and stuff.
And he's sat in the loo and his trousers disappeared down the toilet. We've all been there. Because it's what it's got. Here's what happens, John. He goes in and the person before hasn't flushed. And this toilet has got one of those airplane-style flushes on it. And it catches the edge of his trousers and they just disappear. And so now he's in Buckingham Palace, which is sealed off to the public. His trousers, he wasn't wearing, he went commando, because you would if you're meeting the king, right? And his knob out in a port-a-loo in the grounds of Buckingham Palace. He has his phone and he has to somehow, in 90 minutes, because that's when he's being presented with, didn't I mention this? A knighthood. He has to get a pair of trousers delivered to him. And you're watching, it all unfolds. All you see is the inside of the cubicle. The entire movie takes place inside this toilet cubicle as he desperately tries to get. He's got a mate with a drone who can't quite get into. He gets shot down by a beefeater. I think there's some wrong terms in there somewhere. He tries calling someone else at the party and tries to convince them to give him their trousers. It's a lot of fun.
You've written a Mr. Bean sketch there, is what you've done.
Sort of have, yeah.
I think the end should be he makes trousers out of toilet roll and hand sanitizer.
And he just goes and gets that knighthood, proud as you like, and strolls out.
Alternatively, we don't need to dwell on it, but my idea of Soiling Point is the film Boiling Point, but there's just an extra layer of tension in the fact that he's got diarrhea.
He's got diarrhea. Yeah, nice.
So he's just sort of holding his backside the whole time.
Oh, good stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How about this one from Pip? Live and let fry. The last person left in the UK not owning an air fryer comes to term with their trauma. That could be me.
Still not got one.
No. Have you got one?
People are like, they're the greatest thing in the world. And then people who haven't got them are like, but they're just a tiny oven. But then you get one and you're like, it's the greatest thing in the world. I think it's like joining a cult.
Oh, that's good.
Or maybe that's what it is. And it is Bond. You get
initiated into a cult. It is Bond. Bond hasn't got an air fryer. Because Bond, I reckon Bond's one of those guys who hasn't even taken the plastic off his oven.
He uses his oven to store martini bottles.
100%. He is exclusively Deliveroo and Uber Eats, James Bond.
Yeah.
He's never cooked himself a meal. There's
On the one night a month where he's not out.
Here's the thing about James Bond. He's never, ever cooked himself a meal, but he's a brilliant cook. You just know that he would be, right? He would just turn his hand and he can poach an egg like no one else.
He just knows. He just, from trying so many flavors from around the world, he just knows what goes together.
He just gets it. It's easy. So everyone that's getting an air fryer is unwittingly becoming like a sleeper cell. Yeah. Every time they fry, there's radiation being sent into their brains that's convincing them to bring down the government. And Bond clocks onto this because Bond has never cooked for himself in the kitchen. He's one of the very few people left that hasn't succumbed to the air fryer madness. And so he sets out to bring down the head of it all, which I guess is George Foreman. I don't really know. I can't think. There isn't like a guy, is there? You know, like with the grills. There isn't like an air fryer guy.
Maybe it is George Foreman, and he's taking he wants bad press for the air fryer because he wants everyone to go back to the humble grill.
Do you remember the grills, man? They went crazy.
I think we were also like probably around the perfect time where it was like most people had one, and we were like becoming students, and so like all students had every student kitchen in the country had one.
God, they really overtook the toaster maker, I think, as the next kitchen accessory.
And then like because
as in like toaster, kettle, microwave, they're the unmovable big three.
Yeah,
I'm not including a sink or an oven or a fridge. Take that as read. But the three that you can move in and out, you can plug in, toaster, kettle, microwave. And for a while, I think number four was the George Foreman grill.
I don't think you're wrong. My partner.
And now it's the air fryer.
Maybe. My partner, she got a voucher for John Lewis. I know, we're doing all right. And she bought a George Foreman grill that was on deal. And honestly, it's the size of our kitchen table. It's ridiculous.
What's the biggest thing you've grilled in it? A pig?
You could definitely, I think you could do a half salmon in it easily. It's ridiculous.
That's not what Foreman intended.
You could probably do six toasties at the same time.
How many sausages could you fit on it?
24, I'd say.
This is a strange request, but I'm coming to your house soon, John.
You want to see it?
I want everything. I want everything you prepare for me to be made on that grill at once.
Absolutely not. Okay. What was this film I did? Live and Let Fry. Yeah,
we've done it. So we nailed it.
He takes it down. Takes down George Foreman, and then he becomes the new face of grilling.
Bond launches his own kitchen gadget.
With a hilarious pun for the name of it, but you guys can work that one out
for yourself. Yeah, we haven't got time for that.
What about this one from Stu? Zero Bark 30, a madman with hundreds of trained dogs hijacks crafts.
Okay. What? Yes? No? What would be his... you need a motive to hijack crafts.
Well, the sad one that I feel like this isn't, we're a fun, silly podcast, would be like sort of something about inbreeding within dog communities and pedigree dogs, but that's not fun. About, he's just sick of poodles winning it every year or something.
That's good. That's
he
good.
He just wants always a big old fashioned gun dog to win.
Yeah, nice. Or like a big slobbery, gross dog.
Yeah, he just wants
There's no representation for those. He's basically brought 100 mutts to Crufts. And they're fucking shit up. That's good.
I love it.
They're just like sniffing each other's asses in the tunnels. They're eating the judges' scorecards. They're running amok. Great.
That is one of the greatest things. I don't watch Crufts generally. You'll be surprised here. But I love a clip online when a dog has gone AWOL at Crufts.
Oh, so good. So just good.
Ignoring the track.
They become animalistic. They become primal. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Something switches in their brain. It's brilliant. And they like revert to wolf mode. I love it. John, would you like some ideas from us?
Not really, but let's do it anyway.
Okay. Here's my one. An American sweet shop in London.
Yeah.
Two tourists, David and Jack, visit one of Oxford Street's completely legit candy emporiums. They are attacked by a giant jelly baby. However, when David tries to recall the attack, all of the locals deny any knowledge of the shop.
Right. So obviously, we need to address this weird thing. For anyone who's not hanging out in London enough, there is this phenomena of the fact that the streets of London are basically being taken over by American candy stores and nothing else. Yeah,
it's so weird. It's Before so weird. You know about it, 10 on Oxford Street.
It's outrageous. Also, I'm going to say it here. I don't want to take shots at any wonderful, humble establishments, but there is a brand of old sweet shops, spelt not like that, that is on almost every high street, and I have no idea how that stays in business either.
What the hell? I don't know what it's about. Who's buying sweets from these places? Well, so during lockdown, at Christmas, I had to go to a shop on Oxford Street for like a click and collect dealio.
Yep.
And all of the sweet shops were open.
What?
Like you could go, like it was like a vital, you know how like, supermarkets were open. The American sweet shops of London fell under the remit of being open. It was so weird. So I walked down Oxford Street, the only man on Oxford Street, like in a zombie movie, and you could just smell like Twizzlers and Hershey's chocolate in the air because there were no cars, there were no buses. It was so strange. And you just walk past like, all of these American sweet shops that were still open. And they're definitely not a front for anything. They are fine.
And it's just a coincidence that all the sweets that they have on display have sort of been discoloured by the light, as if to suggest they've all just been sat there for months on end, untaken by customers.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what the plot? So these two characters, they wander into
a sweet shop. By a They're jelly tourists.
Bean. Fine.
But maybe it's a big jelly baby. I don't know. I couldn't really think of the, you know, they or something sinister happens to them in an American sweet shop, and when they go back, it's no longer there, or there's 50 of them. You know, they're kind of losing their minds.
Oh, it's like the end of that film where he puts on the glasses and he suddenly realizes
Everything's an American sweet shop. There he looks down at his hands and he's got the hands of a jelly baby.
What about this one from me? Pain and Gain. The Rock and Marky Mark get extra shredded rolling dough at France's premier bakery.
Oh, that's good.
There we go. Look, just in case I need to translate for anyone, pain is... Pain is bread in French. There you go.
And gain is gain, which means muscles.
It does.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of Marky Mark and The Rock in sort of aprons and nothing else.
They're maybe working at rival bakeries.
They could do. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, in France. I found out this is from a podcast that I was actually worth listening to called Lateral with Tom Scott. Tom Scott's that YouTuber who's... He's like a British guy who sort of does short form videos that are just quite interesting. That's underselling him. Anyway, he does a podcast called Lateral where they ask a question and you have to work it out. And it's like the answer is lateral. And on one of those, he revealed, and I told this to my mum and she was like, that in Paris specifically, but in France generally, in the old days, when a boulanger, when a baker would go on holiday, he'd have to tell the local authorities, and then he was required to post a sign on his shop whilst he was away saying where the nearest baker was to get bread. That's how important bread is to the French.
That's so good. I love it. What a lovely note to end our very tangential episode on. John,
hello.
We have to leave because a giant jelly baby has just walked into the room with an evil look in its eye. So we need to pick a winner.
Oh,
I'm going to say I think yours might be my favorite.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. I liked Zero Bark 30. That's good. Dogs.
That was good. What was the one about the flea? That was great.
I don't think there was one.
There wasn't one. Well done, John.
Thank you, mate. How's it going?
Well done.
All good.
It's going pretty well. Have you got anything exciting to update me on? Have you watched anything? Have you consumed any media?
I've been reading an old comic. Well, old, like in the grand scheme of things, but old comic
the dandy.
Book called The Wicked and the Divine. It's by Jamie McKelvey and Kieran
About
Gillen.
The people that come every how many years? They're gods.
92 years, I think is. Yeah. So I read the first volume of it because this is a little gripe. You can get like the first volume of a lot of these series easily. And then obviously the sort of the amount they print after that point is reduced. So they become more expensive and hard to find. So I'm on like secondhand websites trying to get future volumes. Yeah, so I'm enjoying that. And actually the reason I said Pain and Gain is because I'm reading a book called Empire of Pain. And every time I read it, I think, oh, that's a funny title for a book about a bakery business in France, which is about basically the pharmaceutical industry in America and the Sackler family specifically.
Ooh.
And how they ruined the world single-handedly.
That sounds interesting. That sounds good. Yeah.
Oh, I also, Disney Plus, Extraordinary. Have you heard about this? It's being advertised quite a lot. And it's basically, the conceit is everyone has special powers except for the lead character of the show. But it's sort of it's like a half hour comedy. Like the tone is like Fresh Meat, if that makes sense. So it's not like...
Okay.
So it's like an adult comedy rather than sort of like a fantasy show. That's just the conceit of it. And it's, I've watched three episodes and I thought it's really fun. So yeah, if you liked Fresh Meat or that sort of like adult teen comedy, you'll be a fan of that.
Is there a character in it called Jizz Lord?
There is, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I'm in.
Have you consumed anything of interest or note? Great.
The Last of Us TV show. Fucking brilliant.
How have we not talked about that? That's ridiculous.
It's so amazing.
Yes. Agreed.
It's incredible.
Retweet. Have you played the, have you played the first game? Okay.
I own the second game, but I haven't played it, which I now intend to play. The show is incredible. Everyone in it is brilliant. It looks amazing. Everything. It's just perfect telly. It's so good. I would recommend it, even if you've got zero interest in the game. Like, it's just brilliant horror drama series.
The opening sequences that are not from the game at all.
Oh, for man, both they're the amazing. The one on the second episode was so good. Oh, my God. It's like the second episode, it was real constant tension building, edge of the seat. It's so good. So I'm watching that. I'm loving that. I'm listening to a podcast about that.
The HBO one?
No.
Okay. So I would recommend the HBO one because that's with the two creators. And it's really interesting. Good. And so, like, if you want to know the difference between, like, because they've made some substantial changes, like, in the world of the show versus the game. Nothing, like, that changes the plot per se, but just fundamental functionalities. And they sort of explain it in a way that's really, really interesting and engaging.
Nice. What I'm listening to, it's these three Australian comedians who do a video game podcast I listen to every week. And they're doing a show about The Last of Us called Clicker, I Barely Know Her, and it's very good and it's very funny, and they go through the episodes and they're great.
What's their video game podcast?
Filthy Casuals.
Okay, I need to check it out.
It's great. And also I am last night I watched that movie Bank of Dave.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was really lovely and cheesy and corny and British fun, feel good fun.
So how long are we talking? 90 minutes?
90 minutes.
Perfect.
90 minutes, feel good, start to finish. You know, great stuff.
Perfect. There you go. I'll try and put in the bio everything we've just mentioned, because normally we mention like one or two things. That was like seven, so.
I'd also recommend Kit Kats. Can you put that in the bio? They're great.
Kit Kats. Any specific? Yeah. Peanut Chunky?
Kit Kats, brackets, general. Okay.
And I just link you to like Tesco.
No link. Just in here's our recommendations from the show, and just at the bottom it just says Kit Kats brackets general.
Fleas? Do they go in the recommendations or not?
Fleas? No. No. That's pre the music. And also that might, because I don't know if you know this, John. There's actually a lot of people that listen just for this bit, so they won't get the Fleas callback. They tune in, they skim through all of that movie bullshit, and they just listen to our pop culture recommendations for 2 minutes at the end of the show.
Oh, lovely. Bit. Well, welcome.
Welcome and goodbye. Thanks, John.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.